We used to do that all the time.
Aww.
Back in the day.
Memories.
Wait, are we starting?
We can start.
Okay. Oh. Hey guys, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
Grace.
Someone commented on an Instagram of mine that was like, I had no idea Grace was younger than you guys. I always picture her as this older woman keeping you in line. And she's like, be nice to young Grace. And then someone else was like, what's Grace's handle on Instagram? I'm a fan. I was like, oh, God.
I mean, the show has aged me perhaps 25 years.
I think I said Grace is an old soul.
Yes.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yep. News and booze. Oh, wait, no booze.
Oh, right. We're not boozing because we have a very special guest that we talked to this week.
Yes. So Matt Belisai, who, if you watched BuzzFeed's Wine About It, like, that's the guy. But now he hosts his own podcast, Unhappy Hour. He gets drunk and tends to rant about things that he dislikes. So fun. And I wasn't really sure about this interview. I was like, well, like, we've never met him before. He's not a Bravo Leb. Is this too outside the universe? No, it was amazing because he is a true fan of Real Housewives of New York and Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it's just super hilarious.
So funny. This was like one of our most fun interviews ever.
Yeah. He was a true kindred spirit in this podcast studio.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. He was just so much fun to talk to. But so, yeah, we boozed it up with him, which is why we're not boozing now.
Mm-hmm. Also, Rachel's sick.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
Are you sick or do you think this is a 2-day hangover?
No, I'm definitely sick.
Okay, fine.
No, this is not. I'm not just tired. Like, the doctor's like, you have postnasal drip. You have, like, ear stuff going on. Drip.
Great. Love sharing this tiny studio with you. I know. That's what I was doing.
A postnasal drip.
A poison.
A poison could develop a cough. This is from Guys and Dolls.
Oh.
Which I don't think has a copyright, so we could totally use that. Definitely. It's over 50 years old. Anyway, speaking of Guys and Dolls, Oscars weekend.
Yes, the Oscars.
I had to buy YouTube TV, whatever the fuck that is, in order to watch it because ABC's live TV was not working.
ABC red carpet is a mess.
Oh, I tuned in at the beginning.
Me too.
Tried watching, like, in between commercials of E's red carpet, and it was just, it's like, who are these people? The only one I recognized was hosted with Kelly Ripa.
Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
Because he's on GMA. It must have been a bunch of GMA people.
Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't recognize the rest. Just really not interesting. Not good questions.
I mean, I feel like everyone was like terrified to ask real questions.
That's true.
Right. To ask any. You can't ask what people wear anymore. Mm-mm. But then you also don't want to ask anything real either because you're just going to get into a whole kettle of fish.
Mm-hmm. A real phrase.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, you just got to be like, so, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to talk about on red carpets now.
My favorite moment from the E! Red carpet that I saw was, so Ryan Seacrest stopped Donald Glover and was like, no.
Not Donald Glover?
Donald Sutherland.
What a great mix-up.
I know. And was like, so you got the call that you were getting this honor. What was that like? And he proceeded to go into a 15-minute explanation of like, well, me and my wife were at dinner having steaks and, you know, sipping. Like, just this, all this detail you don't need. And it was just like, hurry it up.
Right. Get media trained.
Yes.
If you're, like, that old, just...
Nope. Can't tell a story. Yeah. You're not allowed.
I did like that they had Warren Beatty and...
Faye Dunaway.
Oh. Come out again to do Best Picture. I was like, that's...
Get another chance.
That's clever. And he seemed much more together. So I was like, good job, Warren. You did it.
I was asleep by that point.
Oh, wait. Who won the jet ski?
A cinematographer or something. Like, someone I didn't know.
Did you catch... So there was the jet ski was the first part of it, but then the second part was that you would also win a trip to Lake Havasu. Was anyone else immediately like... Vicky Gumbelson?
I mean, I didn't hear that until you said it, and then of course I thought Vicky.
Yeah.
I just think of when Nugget Remember?
Oh yeah, she's pulling on her lower lip. Pulling on
my
lip
and being Tamara.
A la Tamara Sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of uneventful, though. I was like, eh.
Well, should we get into the actual events of the week?
Sure.
So, number one, I feel like this is the third week that Kardashians have led the headlines.
Yes, I'm not mad about it.
No, you're not. This weekend, like during the Oscars, kind of, Khloe Kardashian revealed the gender of her baby.
So I watched the episode, and I can tell you, I was really happy with how real she was. She thought she was having a boy. I thought she was having a boy because that's what other people were reporting. She found out she's having a girl, and she was really bummed out.
Aww.
Like super disappointed. And I was kind of like, I'm glad that she's showing that, because everyone's always like, I just want a healthy baby. I'm like, there's no way you don't have a preference.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned into she's really excited because it's going to grow up next to Stormy and Chicago and just be a little girl gang.
I didn't put together that Stormy was the name of the porn star that with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, I just didn't put that together until the other day I saw a headline and I was like, that's an interesting choice considering that's in the news.
I think they spell it differently.
Yes.
well, then.
What is Stormy's last name? Because it's not Scott.
Because that's not his real name.
Yeah.
It's, just Google it. Webster. Stormy, yes. Webster. She didn't even have to Google it.
Mm. Megan is our Google when it comes to
Kardashians. You are our Webster.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you see our fellow podcaster Kate Casey also reveal the gender of her baby?
Mm-mm.
She is having another girl, which is like four.
I was gonna say she already has like seven girls.
I think this is her fourth girl, and the video was just of her son, who is the only boy of them, like just his face falling because he thought he was gonna get a brother.
Oh, well, that's okay, buddy.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Do you know what you want?
If I'm pregnant,
yeah.
Boy-girl twins.
Ooh.
Are twins in your family?
No. Well, I mean, my great-grandmother, but she was like one of 10 kids, and I feel like, well, yeah, if you have 20 kids, one the of odds. Them's bound to be
a set of twins.
In these days of IVF, twins run in all of our family, though.
But not only that, I just, like, I don't know, hormones and food? I don't know. Oh. I just feel like there's so many more twins mm-hmm. now than there used to be. And the natural occurring ones.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the studies. That's just my personal observation. But the reason I want twins, well, I mean, it was further
reinforced.
When we talked to Lauren today?
Lauren Workus today. And she and Ashley have like twin ESP.
Yeah. That was a great interview. I can't wait for all of you to learn about the One Tit Gang.
Yes. Yes. But congrats, Khloe. She's the only one? Or yeah. Did she have her baby?
Nope, not yet. She's in Tokyo.
At what month? Isn't she
8 months? But her doctor gave her permission.
Interesting, because if you remember season 5 of Atlanta, Kim would not fly.
Right.
Because she was pregnant and she was only... But the timeline was very unclear. And Phaedra.
In other news, another big announcement.
No, say that again.
Continue to struggle on these transitions.
Speaking of...
But what else is there, Grace? I want to get into Bravo Lebs.
All right. Another big announcement. Shannon Bedore announced something that she had been hinting at for a while. She shared on Instagram, "Today it is becoming real. QVC is happening. So real to see my recipes come to life.
Come to lunch.
Launch date is April 18th. Hashtag dream come true."
Okay. So many questions. Do they sell food on QVC?
No, but it must be a recipe book on QVC.
I have no idea. I think there's a chicken in the background of that photo.
There's like a plate of steaks.
So that confused me. I mean, yeah, I guess it could be recipes, but...
Do you think she'll be doing...
Recipe book, but I thought it was... I didn't know.
What do you cooking? Call it? Cooking?
Tools?
No, when you're doing it. Like
not demonstration?
Demonstration. I was like, not an exhibition.
I love like half-hour-long infomercials that show you like all the different ways to use a pan. Maybe she'll be doing one of those.
Oh, set it so good.
And forget it.
Ooh.
With a studio audience?
Wait, what do you think it is?
so excited to see my recipes come to life.
Yeah, like, doesn't that sort of paint a photo of, like, your recipe is coming to life in the form of this food you're selling?
Maybe is somebody cooking her recipes?
Or is it, like, a meal delivery box?
Oh, a Shannon Bedore? Cool.
I would order that.
Yeah.
Right to your Shannon Bedore. Oh, from one Bedore to another.
Okay.
No, it doesn't really work. I'm trying.
Has her restaurant, have we heard anything more about it?
We probably will find out if there's another season.
True, true, true. And of course, the other big Housewives news of the week, Real Housewives of New York, coming back season 10.
So excited. Rachel and I actually watched the super trailer while they were filming, and that's up on BravoTV.com.
Yes, go watch us. Real, laugh, cry. I don't think we cried.
Yeah, but like, it's exciting. It looks good.
I mean, it looks so good. What was your favorite part?
When Tinsley Mortimer screams, "She assaulted a police officer!
She assaulted a police officer!
This is very embarrassing!"
Just because, like, that shocked me.
Yes.
I don't know. We all know what happened, but it was still, like, to hear her say it that way was very...
Right, it's really happening, and yes. They're definitely addressing it all.
Yes. Oh, my other favorite part was, well, not favorite, like, I'm glad, but favorite in that, like, I can't wait to see what happens, is this Bethany and Carol Jill rift.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jill.
No, the rift between Carol and Bethany.
I know.
You're being defensive.
You're being defensive.
I'm not sure Carol's as excited to see me as she used to be.
What was your favorite part, Rachel?
My favorite part was Luann's a loser. What?
Luann is a loser. Excuse me?
What? The whole sequence of events. Like, she says it, Luann hears. What? Oh, so good. What was your favorite part, Grace?
My favorite part, I was going to say the Luann's a loser. What? Just because the editing is, like,
it's so good.
Perfectly
what?
Timed. Let me pick another favorite part, though.
Don't call me honey.
Ooh, yeah. That was a real, like, this is a rift.
Every time we're together, you're aggressive with me.
That's not the case.
Honey, it is.
Don't call me honey.
My thorn was Carol in a dark-haired wig. She is, I like her as a blonde so much better. But, I mean, Bethany and Jill, I'm alone too.
What am I going to do? I've never been alone since I'm 20 years old.
I'm alone too.
Like, and did you notice Jill said, I've been with him since I'm 20 years old.
Since I'm.
Yeah, I've been noticing it a lot lately in, like, random places.
It's a very New York thing.
Yeah, apparently.
They say Jersey. Sex in the City. if you watch Sex in the City, Grace.
I almost watched the first episode.
They
this
say
weekend.
All
I
the
came
time.
So close. Well, speaking of New York, something else happened this weekend.
Oh my god!
Okay.
So bad.
Okay, but speaking of New York, we have a very special guest here.
Wait, this is happening now?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the podcast.
This is how we do it.
This has been recording.
Where are the drinks?
Rachel's sick. So
but hey, Emily right wants wine. This. Let's have wine.
Yes.
She doesn't have to drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Per our guest request, we're now going to pop some bottles.
So please welcome Emily Exton.
5-time Academy Award nominee, 3-time winner, Emily Exton.
Hi.
I think we already spoke a little bit about this, but we are here for a very special purpose.
Yes.
Tell us what you did last week.
Last week, my life was forever changed. I went to something that people will be talking about for generations, and that is the one and only Luann de Lesseps cabaret show at 54 Below.
Ugh.
It's just too good.
I mean, yeah, you couldn't pump it up more. That was perfect, Emily.
Sold out, 2 nights only.
Ugh.
New York only. So sadly, fans in California, Texas, wherever, you know, the second show is coming up this week, so try to get here by the 8th, but, you know, there's only a limited number of seats to see Lou in all her glory.
Okay. Tell us everything.
Right. We walked into the room. What did you see? What did you smell? What did you feel?
So I saw Miss Sonia Morgan arrive, which was great. Always a great sight to see her. So she was in attendance along with Kelly Ben Simone, which was also really exciting. A lot of people excited about her. she was very nice, taking a lot of photos. But probably the most exciting audience sighting for me was Jacques.
Jacques.
You know the Jacques, yes.
Oh, yes. Was he alone?
Luann's ex-lover.
He actually was not. He was with a lady who they seemed to be involved in some
canoodling.
Yes.
Okay.
But they were seated at the booth next to me. So he and I were back to back, which was very exciting, nerve-wracking, a lot of emotion.
Could you smell him?
He is very dapper, I will say. I don't know if I fully grasped it or the extent of it on the show, but he's very together. He still has this, you know, that swooping hair. He has the accent. He, you know, made a little hand signal to the waiter to get the check, which...
Classy.
Yeah. But yeah, Luann's show, I guess for those maybe not from New York or not cabaret fans in general, like 54 Below is a pretty big deal. A lot of Broadway performers are there. So just when I heard a few months ago that Luann was performing, it's not, you know, your mom's like open mic night.
It's like a real deal place.
Yeah. Big time Broadway performers are there. They had signs coming up. Bebe Neuwirth is going to be there, you know, from Frasier, but also original cast of Chicago and many other Broadway shows. So that was really cool. And to Luann's credit, the show is Countess and Friends.
Which, like, still Countess.
Well, now that she's not a D'Agostino, I think she needs to lean back into Countess.
Right.
Even though it's not technical.
I was going to say, is she allowed?
No.
She,
I mean, it won't be technical.
She talked about it. I think, you know, she's...
At the show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What did she say?
That she's still Countess. That, you know, I think, yeah, maybe not technically by the book.
Right.
European family, royal family, whatever.
Rules.
But I think once a Countess, always a Countess.
In our hearts.
Exactly. But yeah, Countess, hashtag Countess and Friends. So she performed four songs, only one of her own. I don't know if you
can guess. Money Can't Buy a Class?
Yes.
Yes.
And then,
Chic, c'est la vie. C'est bon.
That one cut.
I think that might be my favorite, so that was a little disappointing. But in between her numbers, she had four costume changes. She also had a rotating assortment of really legitimate, fabulous Broadway performers. So Tony Yazbek, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he's great. Another dapper man, a tap dancer.
Love it.
Did he tap dance?
He tap danced.
Oh, my God.
Luann sat on the piano bench looking on adoringly at him. I mean, that to me was the ultimate. I love tap dancing and I love housewives. So the combination of the two. And I think we're underestimating that there really is a lot of overlap there. Broadway fans, yeah, Broadway tap fans.
Yeah, definitely. Housewife fans.
Maybe there's a future show on the horizon.
Ooh, I hope.
Yeah. Andrew Keenan Bolger, who's also a big name, brother of Celia Bolger. He did
That's
a fun
crazy.
Song.
Like real people.
Yes. Like Tony nominees, Tony performers, yes. All that stuff. He did a song called Uncool, and it was all about how he's a fan of the Countess and he wants the Countess to like him, but he's self-proclaimed nerd, Star Wars fan, theater nerd, but it was really, really cute, and he quoted all of her best lines, eggs a la Francais, and everything. So it was a mixture, but it also played to all of the people in the room.
So did it feel like you were seeing a professional show?
Yes. Sold out.
How was Luann's voice?
It was good. She looked great.
How was Luann's voice? She looked great.
You know, I think on par with how you hear it
on the show.
Right, past performances.
She has a very Phoebe... sick voice.
Sexy phlegm. So,
yes, exactly. Like sultry, like talk, singy. Yeah.
Okay. I want to know about the moment Sonia came out on stage.
Yes! We have seen the Instagram.
Yes. I mean, there's a big video on bravotv.com that you can see, but Sonia was sitting pretty close to the stage. Again, it's a small space. You know, it's intimate, cabaret style, so you're in kind of a dinner theater cafe table type thing. So she was really close and she was amazing throughout. Sonia was very supportive, raising her hands, calling out, cheering. And so it's only a matter of time before, okay, she's going to do something. And so they had a little bit, and Sonia joined her on stage, and they talked about Friends. And then it led them to the intro of Money Can't Buy You Class. But first, there was a little bit of back and forth about making it a Hamilton-esque rap.
Yeah.
So
making Money Can't Buy You Class into a rap, Hamilton style.
Yeah.
And they did that?
Yeah. And Sonia gave it her all and danced. It was, you know, a little bit, I think, of her cabaret came out there,
mm-hmm.
which is what the room was expecting. So, again, playing to the passions in the room, the fan base, the expectations, and it got a standing ovation, as it should.
What about the moment where she tried to take off her underwear?
Sonia, that is.
Cabaret-esque, I mean, I think.
So was she rapping as she was doing that? Or was that just spontaneous dancing at the end?
Spontaneous dancing, I think.
Okay, okay.
The people in the audience, do you think that they're diehard Real Housewives fans?
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, you know, a lot of just rabid housewife fans, you know, people spotting people coming in, talking about, you know, everyone is very excited about the new season and was kind of guessing when the trailer was going to come out. So that was kind of fun to know that. Obviously, I didn't tell anyone that, but just, you know, to hear and report back internally, like, the streets are talking and they're really excited about the new season.
Word on the street is.
Exactly. But yeah, everyone seemed really excited. Luann was taking photos with a lot of people, Kelly Bensimo and Sonia too. Yeah, it was just a really fun night, and everyone was super excited and supportive about Luann. Best part actually might be that she also does this diary component where she reads passages from her diary.
Oh, I heard one of them on Instagram, and it was talking about you should always know, memorize right now, 3 phone numbers, because God forbid you ever spend a night in jail. You need to know who to call.
Yeah, so there were a lot of references to the Christmas Eve of 2017.
Oh, my God. I love that, though. Like, yeah, please, please just address it so it's not this pink elephant in the room.
Is pink elephant? Isn't it just elephant in the room?
That's the saying. Where's pink elephant?
Because you're thinking of that white was elephant? On... Maybe white elephant, but that was on like Jersey or something where they kept saying pink elephant. We were like, that's not a thing. You've now seeped into your brain.
Oh, my God.
That's the only reason why I bring it up, because I think it was from our shows.
I'm Googling, but go ahead.
No. It's Beverly Hills. They kept saying it in the reunion last year.
She announced that she did not have underwear on.
But wait.
It's like saying to somebody, don't look at the pink elephant. Okay? She said, I'm not wearing any underwear.
Are you comparing her vagina to a pink elephant?
No.
But then, you know, that I think I agree. It was good that she's addressing it head on. She led with that. She mentioned her time away in rehab. They even played the opening notes to Amy Winehouse's rehab. She also talked about, you know, how good she feels and also how much time she has and how much she gets done in her day now that she's not drinking. She goes to bed early now. And
so she gets up earlier. I get it.
And she made a joke about, you know, now she's going to bed at the time she used to be just getting started at the Regency. So that got a big applause. But one of the best diary entries was also, I guess, from probably 10 years ago. She said, this is the day that I met Jill Zarin. And she read that and talked about how Jill told her about a show called Manhattan Moms that they were doing a pilot for. So obviously, as any true Housewives fan knows, that became Real Housewives of New York City.
Yes!
So almost full circle, too. You know, she and Jill were there at the beginning, and then everything that they've both gone through in the last couple of months, it, again, just makes you excited for the new season.
So excited.
I'm so jealous.
Are they closer now because of what they've each gone through?
Yeah, I would imagine. And we talked to Camille today, actually, and she was just talking about how you have a kind of bond with the OGs because you went through this thing together that, like, it's so rare and specific, like war buddies.
So actually, I misspoke before. Maybe the most important person in attendance in the audience was Luann's niece.
The niece that dated Adam while maybe Carol was.
Yep, she was there front and center. She looked great. lots of people going up to her. It was also really fun to see a lot of the faces that you sort of recognize in the background of parties over the years, especially the OG Jill's parties, Ramona's parties, Luann's parties. A couple of blonde women where I, you know, don't know their name, can't put a finger on it, but they just felt familiar.
Well, and we've been to the premiere parties before, and you find yourself like doing a couple double takes. You're like, do I know this person? And you realize, oh, wait, this is just one of those Upper East Side ladies that always makes their way into an episode.
Mm-hmm. What was one thing you learned, Emily?
I think I knew it in my heart, and it really came through, though, once I saw Lou up on that stage. You know, in last week's episode, I heard you guys talking about it, going into it, and Megan had some questions, and which are valid.
Right.
But I think the biggest thing we have to remember is life is a cabaret.
Yes, yes it is.
And that also is really the essence of Luann, and she embodies that, and I want to embody that here on this podcast today.
Ah, I mean, that was pretty good, Emily Exton.
And so for those who don't know, because I don't know if we introduced her, Emily is the supervising producer for The Daily Dish as a brand at large. So she works on the website, but she's also been a part of this podcast since the very beginning, behind the scenes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Everything we ever wanted. I mean, aside from being there, this was as good as it could get. And that video you captured on your cell phone, oh my God, it's so good. Everyone check out the link in the description. Well, we talked to Matt Bellassai about, we just all read the New York Times piece about Luann's cabaret, and there were so many questions, so we talked about it before we knew what it was. And here's that interview. Now can we cheers?
Yeah. Cheers!
Yay! Everyone, we are here with Matt Bellassai for a very special News and Booze edition. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
You're a comedian, Twitter personality, host of the podcast Unhappy Hour, host of the web series To Be Honest, and author of the book Everything is Awful.
All true.
Now spot the lie.
Right, yeah. There wasn't one. I'm shocked. Normally I go in and I'm just expecting to be tarnished.
Yeah.
No, never.
We're all drinking wine.
Yes.
You were just saying not your favorite.
I say wine is my like work drink and I chug it in order to get drunk and that's about it. But I do enjoy an...
Oh, no!
At this point, a poster of The Real Housewives of New York flew off of the wall of our podcast studio and directly onto our guest. It's foam core, so I'm sure he's fine, but we do apologize.
Big wine is out to get me.
You're not drinking Bethany's Pinot. Yeah. All right. You were just attacked because you did not drink Skinny Girl Pinot Grigio, but Rachel is.
I am.
I've had my fair share of Skinny Girls, so.
I was going to ask if you had like a Ramona Pinot.
Yeah, that's the only Housewives alcohol that I ever used in a video was Ramona's wine. And I tweeted at her and she liked my tweet. So now we're besties.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Chuggable?
I mean, I chugged it, so technically, yes. It was a while ago. It was probably like 3 years ago, though. So I don't quite remember the taste, but I do remember it being pleasantly affordable.
I always figured, like, Ramona knows Pinot. She's not going to give you bad Pinot. You know what I mean?
Right. And if it is, then you drink it, and that's it.
Have you had any Vanderpump Rosé?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. We should, next time. Next
okay,
time.
Yeah.
Because we need you to, like, taste test, compare which housewife had the better.
Right. You know, it's not rosé season. Like, I care.
Well, we want to start with something easy. You know, we don't want to scare you off with something too insane. So we recently had Mystic Michaela, a psychic, on our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And aside from being able to read people's auras, she can see people's fetishes. What is your fetish?
This is the easy question.
Well,
you should have asked her. And then she could have told you.
She should have shown her a picture of you.
My fetishes. I feel like the most vanilla person ever. I'm like, you know, just a nice silk sheet.
I thought you'd be like a nice dainty foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was just, you know, feet and also like fisting. You know, those right. are.
Yeah. No, that's really
slight.
Long.
But yeah.
Right, yeah.
Who doesn't?
Right, 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 yeah. I'm like only sexually attracted to like food. So,
yeah. What is the sexiest
like a nice
food?
Lasagna. That gets me going. Mm. Just steamy layers that we can get between.
Totally.
Yeah.
I feel like you've commented on 50 Shades trilogy. Yeah. Have you seen the third movie?
I have not seen the third.
Damn it, Matt. We were going to talk about it.
I mean, I feel like I can confidently talk about it as if I've seen it. I think anybody can.
Right, right.
I inexplicably.
Oh, God, he's already drunk.
You know what? Let's just throw it back. I somehow got invited to the premiere of the second movie in L.A. And I hadn't seen the first one. And I was like, now I got to first watch the first one and then go to the racket. Premiere. I will say watching it in a room full of people who made the movie made it more fun because they were like so proud. And I was like, we need to like cover the seats in tarp. Like this theater is ruined.
I mean, that's how I felt going every time.
It was like the Ace Hotel Theater in L.A., which is a very nice theater. And I was like, nobody's going to come here anymore because this
disgusting
place
now.
Is ruined.
No, I mean, my lucky husband, we go every year. I force him to go. I'm just primed and ready after that. I'm like, all right, let's go. You don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I'm like, this is going to be silly. And then I'm watching it. I'm like, wait,
I'm feeling things. Yeah, yeah.
It like changes me.
Yeah, yeah, sure. My favorite thing about the new movie, I think, is that Jamie Dornan sings on the soundtrack.
Oh, my God. No, it was the most cringeworthy thing
what is
of
you know
my
what?
Life.
I listened to it. Not that bad. Oh. I am not going to lie. I mean, admittedly, it's Jamie Dornan, and I would, like, listen to him, like, sling homophobic slurs at me.
Yes.
I probably wouldn't listen to that, but he sings Maybe I'm Amazed,
yeah.
like a cappella. I just fired it up on Spotify.
So did you meet Jamie when you went to the premiere?
No, God, no. Oh, they didn't let me anywhere near him. You know what? He is one of those people who I'm like, I feel like the less I know about you and interact with you, the better. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah. He hates his job. He's not a happy person.
You can tell
down.
On camera that they hate one another.
Other, yeah.
So, which is good, I think, as an audience member that I can be like, he hates her because he loves me, obviously.
Right. Yes,
obviously.
It makes you feel better when you're watching.
Right.
Now that we've, you know,
covered
gone through
all the
fetishes and 50
right.
Shades.
Right.
We want to talk a little bit about you.
Okay, that's my real fetish, myself.
What? Me? No.
So we both first saw you on Wine About It.
Mm-hmm.
How did that all come about? Did you always just hate things and want to talk about it?
Always been unhappy.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, well, I worked at BuzzFeed and I was like, I want to start making videos, like vlogs, but not, I'm air quoting vlogs. Like, I didn't want to be a YouTuber who was like, here's what I bought at Sephora this week. Like, props to people who do that. That wasn't me. My Sephora purchases are personal.
Right.
Just some tinted moisturizer, you know. I have to be on camera. But yeah, I was like, I want to start making videos. And a friend of mine, she like hosted Wine Wednesday with her friends every week. And, you know, we'd get drunk at her apartment. And I was like, that's a good idea. I should drink a bottle of wine on camera and then rant. And then that it just kind of went from there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, great. Now I have to get drunk forever. Now this is my thing. And yeah, now I'm a professional alcoholic and it's great. I probably have like 2-3 years tops. My liver is
yeah,
going.
Yeah, sorry. But you know, that's the price you pay.
Right,
for internet
right.
fame.
Exactly.
It's worth it.
I made the deal and I have to accept it.
So that Wine About became super successful.
Yeah.
And
it was weird.
Then, much like a housewife, you were like, oh, I'm going to leave this super successful thing and go do my own thing.
Right, right.
What was that like?
Well, it's gone well.
It's like I'm here, aren't I? Walls are falling on me.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of an appropriate housewife comparison. But no, it's gone well. I feel like Yeah, it was like I had to kind of make a decision between like staying at a place that sort of like owned me.
Right.
And then like kind of taking a chance on myself and, you know, taking on all of that risk. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And it's been 2 years and I wrote a book and I went on a couple of tours and I'm so doing all right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You said it was weird that it got so popular. Why do you say that?
I don't know. Like, I didn't expect that. If you watch the very first video I posted, I am the most uncomfortable person on camera. I still am. But, like, that first video, I was like, ugh. Like, I can't go back and watch it.
Right.
And then, yeah, like, after a couple of episodes, they started getting, like, a crazy amount of views. And it was just weird. I was like, oh, this is a thing now.
Do you get recognized a lot?
This question is always like weird because I have to be like, yes.
Yes. People love me.
All the time. Yeah, I mean, I live here in New York. And so like I'm always, you know, like every New Yorker, like you walk places. Like, to be fair, I rarely walk because I'm the laziest person in New York. So I'm like, I want to crawl out of bed, have someone lift me, put me in a car, and then I'll go wherever.
And now you have enough money to do that.
That's all I have money for. It's just Ubers and then ramen noodles, and that's it.
And hopefully lasagna.
And lasagna, yeah. Just some good old frozen Stouffer's. Yeah, so like a lot of the times when I'm like walking, you know, wherever, people say hello, which is always nice.
And then you're on the spot to be funny.
Right. That is the weird thing, though, is when people kind of look at you like, do something. I'm like, what? I'm just me. Right. Yeah, or no. When they meet me at like 11 in the morning and they're like, you're drunk right now, right? And I'm like, no, I'm a respectable person.
But yes,
I am drunk. There was a flight attendant on, I think it was the Southwest flight, and it was like 8 a.m. And she was like, oh my God, I'm going to get you some wine. And I was like, I haven't even had coffee yet. But thank you so much. That's very nice. But, you know, that's all right. And she came back with a coffee cup full of wine all the way to the brim. She put a lid on it. And she was like, here you go. Don't say anything.
I knew you really wanted wine. Like, I'm dying. Yeah.
Which I know is like, I can't complain about that. Because right. Most people would be like, this is the greatest thing ever. But I was like, it's 8 a.m. I'm hungover.
But fine.
I need it. Yeah. For the sake of my health, I need like coffee and water right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, Rachel just hit 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
I was really excited.
It's all downhill from here.
I mean, she's been a terror to be around ever since. What was like the milestone for you that you were like, I've made it.
I think the first time where I was like, oh, this is like an actual thing in real life is when people started dressing as my Wine About It guy for Halloween.
That would be crazy.
That's such a great moment. Yeah.
And it was also like, oh, you're dressing as me because I wear the same thing every week. And so it is like a costume that right. You can create now. So right. I internalized that a little bit. But that was, yeah, there was like at least 100 people who dressed up as me, which
that's
was
crazy.
If that's not fame, I don't know what is.
What is, yeah.
You have a book now, though.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
It's called Everything Is Awful. Right. And yeah, it's mostly like childhood. It's how I became the grumpy alcoholic that I am. That's how I say it.
Happy childhood.
Yeah, that's a breeds alcoholic.
My parents read it and they were like, you make it sound like you grew up in like hell. And I was like, no, it was fine. I say that like I was coddled to the point of like now I don't know how to do anything.
Right.
Like my parents were so overprotective and so like, no, you can't, like we need to like save you, that now I'm like, great, I don't know how to iron. So
no one really knows how to iron.
That's like true. A real That's housewife's true. Kid basically.
Basically, yeah.
So we know that Carol Radziwill had a ghostwriter.
allegedly
according to Aviva.
One of my like favorite housewives sightings in the wild was Carol's book editor, where I was like, oh my God, that's you. It was like the smallest character, but I
did
was
you
like,
say something?
God, oh, no.
Okay.
I'm probably the only person who has ever recognized her in the wild.
Oh, that's
but it was
so
on the subway.
Funny.
Yeah.
But did you have a ghostwriter?
No, I didn't. I said that as if I did. No, I graduated with a journalism degree. I'm like a writer at heart. I identify as a writer first, and an alcoholic second, and then like an internet person third, and like a Leo fourth. And so I turned in my proposal to my agent, my book agent, and she, the first like 10 pages were fine, but then the rest was kind of garbage. And she, because I wrote it like overnight, and she could tell I only put effort into like the first 10 pages. And it was the first time I ever cried in like an agent's office.
No, wait, tell us what was said.
Yeah.
Well, that morning, I was, like, going into her office to talk about the proposal, and I'd sent it to her that morning, and she read the first 10 pages and called me before the meeting and was like, oh, my God, I'm so relieved. This is amazing. And then in the span between that phone call and the meeting, she read the rest of it, and I got there, and she was like, sit down. We have to talk. And it was right before I went on my first stand-up tour. There was, like, so much happening, and then at one point, she was like, are you okay? Like, how's everything else? And I was like, there's just so much happening.
Oh, no.
And I was like, yeah. It was just, I was so overwhelmed. But she was like, this is the point where I would tell most clients to get a ghostwriter. But I know you can actually write and do this. So you need to pull it the f*** together. And then, you know, write a good proposal. And, like, over the next 5 days, I did nothing but, like, write. And turned it in. She was like, amazing. So I was like,
right.
Yeah.
That sounds like the best possible way that combo could go.
Yeah. Right.
Like, we're in deep shit, but I know you can pull it off. Right.
And it was one of those things where they booked a comedy show here in New York, and they invited a whole bunch of publishers, you know, because they try to, like, get a bunch of publishers to, like, fight over you. So they were like, we're going to invite them all to your comedy show and, like, see how you kill it. So I had to, like, write a stand-up set and write a book proposal all in the time, like, in, like, 5 days.
Oh, my God.
So that's why I was so overwhelmed. But, like, I pulled it together and, yeah.
Obviously, it went really well because you have a book now.
Yeah, eventually. Eventually. Then that same process repeated itself when I had to turn in the book. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just insufferable and I repeat my mistakes and don't learn from myself. But eventually, I wrote a book. So.
And it's a masterpiece.
Exactly. Yeah. It's won every award.
Yeah. Well, in a really meta moment, Brian Moylan, who writes Vulture recaps about all our Housewives franchises, was asked to be the ghostwriter for Erica Jayne's book. Well, I mean, he's writing with her.
Right.
It's not much of a ghost.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you're not supposed to know
that. Whose book would you want to help write? Of all the Bravo Lebs.
The Bravo Lebs. I mean, I feel like Ramona and I are probably the most akin to one another, at heart. Yeah.
Was it when she was in the woods and had a flashback to her childhood? Is that the moment?
Yes. I think her and I would probably bond the most.
Yeah.
I think her and I would write a smashing book together.
Okay.
I feel like I've lived in New York for like 5.5 years, and in that time I've went from like a studio apartment to like a one bedroom. And now I'm like, well, I'm basically the heir of a French dynasty. The Countess is what I'm getting at. Like, I can pretend to be classy. So every housewife is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think if you just say darling, like every other word, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Being serious, how nice is your apartment?
It's pretty nice. It's nicer than I think most people would think that I live. I mean, I want to set the scene. It is a 700-square-foot apartment. I do not live. It's very small. But in Manhattan, that's like, whoa.
And I was going to say, which borough are we talking? That's like,
yeah.
Manhattan.
I live in Manhattan. But when I first quit my job and started working by myself full time. I lived in a studio on the Upper West Side that was 300 square feet. Mm-hmm. I had no oven. There was just a stovetop. Not that I need an oven, but like you kind of expect it to be there.
Right.
And I didn't have a bathroom door. It was just like a bifold, the door that just like kind of like, yeah, you open like a closet door. And so I was like, if I have to not only sleep here, but also work here like all day, I will kill myself in this. Like, I can't. I lived next door to this woman who had lived there for 40-something years. And I was like, I see my future.
You're like, that's me.
I'd open the door and she'd be standing out in the hallway with her cat.
Oh, I was like, cat. What could this be?
With her breasts in her hand. Yeah, and she told me she was taking them for a walk. And it was just, like, down the hallway and back. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be me. I need to
get
out.
Don't get a cat, man.
So then I moved to like the east side, and into a one bedroom. So now I have a wall separating my bed and my couch,
no
and
longer that's all I like want. A savage.
But yeah, I worked with this like interior design company for like young people. It's called Home Polish.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
They like work with you. It's like, oh, you have your first adult apartment and you don't want to live like garbage.
Right.
Hire us. So I was like, that's me. And they
sponsored by Home Polish.
No, I actually like genuinely, I reached out to them and was like, I need help. Please help me. And I paid. So I wasn't like, give me free design.
I would.
We did end up doing like a thing together, like officially. But right. I reached out to them and was like, I need help.
Yeah. Now I'm looking that up immediately.
I mean, my apartment was in peoplehome.com. So wow. you can look that up.
So not quite good enough for the print.
No, it was not. So whatever.
I'm going to read from you a line from your own book
because it
truly spoke to me.
Okay, good.
You said that if you were president, anybody who complains about not liking the Kardashians shall be banned from enjoying anything ever again. Sorry you didn't get famous for no reason. Let people enjoy their f***ing reality TV. And
yeah.
We say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I can't stand people who use the line like, I hate the Kardashians as their like go-to thing. Like,
Yes. Just
find something else to be interesting about. Like, don't use that as your go-to. It's just like, who cares if people like it? I don't like, how does it affect you negatively?
Right. Like, unless you're Snapchat.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And you lose $1 billion because Kylie Jenner tweeted once. Yeah, I get so angry. And it's like guaranteed people who say that also have some weird thing that they like that they devote like all of their time to. Like,
you have
a drawer full of some shit that you should be embarrassed about. So that's what I say about that.
Us Kardashian fans just wear it on our sleeve.
Yeah.
Well, this is a safe place to talk about any trashy TV obsessions. What are you kind of watching and loving?
I watch TV now like I can only watch one thing at a time. My brain is like very, I need to like, I can't watch stuff week to week. I have to like wait and watch it all at once.
Yeah.
Atlanta and New York are my two housewives, like, go-tos.
You're a wise man.
Right. And I'm behind on Atlanta. I've seen, like, the first half of the season that's out right now.
Okay.
I've left off on, they're still in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I love it. NeNe's bun has come loose.
Yes.
And, so those are my go-tos. What else? I just watch all of Queer Eye on Netflix.
I'm obsessed. I only got through episode 4
because I'm
trying to savor it because it's so good. I don't want it to end.
Yeah. There's not much of it.
I just 8 episodes?
Right.
Not enough.
Yeah.
I could watch it forever.
And there's two episodes I feel like everybody kind of is talking about. One is where they make over a gay guy who has to like come out to his family. And I was just like sobbing on my couch.
Did you see he's engaged? They got engaged.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about
it. That's how you know like good reality TV. When you're like sobbing on your couch for some person you've never met. And you're like, oh my God. I feel like it's because he like, they have him come out. They like make him over and then they have him come out to his stepmom, I think. And he writes her a letter. And that's how I came out to my mom. I was like, I'm writing you a I want a piece of stationery. What you already know, because yeah! let's be real. It's my like yeah. Britney Spears stationery set.
You like feather pen.
Spritz it with fantasy.
But it was, that was like, you know, like traumatizing to like watch some. I was like, this is a little strange that we're watching this band.
This intimate just, moment. Yeah,
just
yeah.
like bare his soul.
And he was like talking to his like late father. Yeah. It was like a lot.
Yeah. But then there's another episode where they kind of pretend to like solve racism that I was like,
I know exactly which episode you're talking about. We're like, did we really like come together there?
No, you basically just both said, I believe this. And you didn't, neither of you died. So right? you were like, we did it.
We solved it.
Yeah.
No more problems.
Right. They like make over this like cop in Georgia.
But they start the episode with them getting pulled over.
Yeah.
Oh.
As a joke.
As a joke.
And Karamo, who's like the only black member of the five, the
Fab
Five,
is driving,
and he's like freaking out. And then they're like, just kidding.
And he's like, this isn't funny. Actually, I was afraid for my life.
Right.
You guys aren't selling this show. It's like, you're either going to be deeply depressed or very uncomfortable.
It usually is like, I don't know. It's. I feel like it's like therapy. It's like watching therapy. Because I binged it all in like one sitting. And afterwards, I was like, I need to get my life together.
No, I was, when you were talking about home polish, I was like, that's what I need. Because I was like, how do I get Bobby to my apartment?
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah. You can finally watch Amazon Prime on Apple TV now. Mm. And so now I'm like, oh, there's all these shows. So I've been watching those. Yeah, it's a good mix. And RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I actually haven't been watching this season, and I'm like a huge...
It's so good. It's all stars, so you haven't seen it, you know, it's like...
Who's coming back? Or who's, like, doing well?
I feel like the like most famous queen now is Trixie Mattel, because they have a show on Vice Land.
The show with Katya, yeah.
Yeah. And she's doing pretty well.
Oh, good. Because I was, like, sad her season because I felt like she let the pressure get to her.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I feel like I like her the best because I, like, absolutely that would be me. Like, if I was not a competitive reality show, I would absolutely crack. There is, like, no... There's no question. You could just see me crying on camera. And I feel like, I sort of like that you can, like, see... the work that goes into it a little bit. Because most people are like, I can do that. And it's like, no, you can't. Okay.
No, really
these people
are.
Have been doing this for years. They've spent thousands of dollars on makeup.
Right. Well, since we are in Bravo,
right.
we should talk about some Bravo shows.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Atlanta, you're a fan. We want to know, what do you think about NeNe coming back?
NeNe, I feel like she knows that life is a game and she is playing that game to perfection.
Right.
She was like, you know, she's been doing it forever and she's good at it. Like, she just knows. Like, she gets it.
This is what you're meant to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, every moment that she is on screen is perfection. There's not like one moment that I've been disappointed when NeNe is on screen.
I know. She just gives you exactly what you want.
Right. It's so weird that it's so like surreal that we live in the world that we live in, though. There was a flashback to that like famous fight between her and Sheree, I think, where they're in like the wine bar.
Yeah.
And she's like, I cashed a check, Trump check, Donald Trump. And I'm like, that is insane.
Right.
That happened like 5 years ago.
I know. And you know who was in the background of that scene? Michael Lohan.
Yeah.
Michael Lohan just showed up and everyone's like, Lindsay Lohan's dad's here. What's happening?
He was interested in the drama.
Yeah.
Right. I would not be surprised. Yeah.
Candy was recently on Broadway in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which I saw.
With Candy?
Yes. I've never seen it.
I love Candy. Candy is actually probably my fave because she's just like, she's always... She's just there, but she's, like, good at it. And also, Like, I wouldn't be mad if she had a sex dungeon. Also, every exterior shot of her house, I'm like, I feel like it gets bigger and bigger every time. I'm like, Jesus, where do you live? Yeah, there's absolutely, like, there has to be just out of, like, if you keep adding rooms, yeah. eventually one of them it's is just going to happen to be a sex dungeon. Eventually.
I have a living room. I have a dining room. Right. Naturally, sex dungeon is next.
Right. Yeah, I just love her.
Well, so since you haven't watched the latter part, but are you familiar with Roachgate at all that's been happening?
I haven't gotten there yet, but you spoil it for me and then I'll give you my thoughts. You.
Okay. So basically, Nene was having a party. Kim Zolciak is invited. Brielle is there. Brielle goes into the bathroom, takes a Snapchat, making fun of the fact that the only mirror in the bathroom is on the floor.
Uh-huh.
You see in the Snapchat roaches. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on to film a corner filled with roaches. There's like three. Okay, I don't want to say there's like 20.
Yeah. I mean, more than one is too many. So.
True. Okay, so Kim Zolciak has this video, just saves it, but then Nene says something that makes her mad and she releases it into the world.
Yeah.
And by the way, for the record, Nene maintains that they're water bugs, not roaches. I just want you to know
that is an important
everything.
Distinction.
Yeah.
Can you tell from the video what which is which?
No, it just looks like a bug.
Right.
Which brings us to our question.
Yeah, what is the question?
What, if anything, have you ever done on social media to get back at someone?
Oh, to get back at someone.
I don't know. You seem like an angry guy.
Yeah. Oh, I 100%. I was actually like just sitting by myself thinking this the other day. Like, what is wrong with holding grudges? People are always like, life's too short. No, I have all the time in the world to hold a grudge. There's billions of people on this earth.
Yeah.
Billions.
Yes.
If I hold a grudge against one of them,
you're doing okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hold grudges against more than one person at the moment. But yeah, I'm like all the way here for it. But I feel like I internalize it more than I actually do anything about it. So I don't know if I've ever gotten back at someone. I do feel like just kind of like living my life is revenge enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely have had the like people I've worked with were like, you start unfollowing people and they who unfollows who first or they block you. A couple of my former coworkers have me blocked on Twitter.
BuzzFeed bitches.
Whatever. People who have been fired. Yes. So I was like, all right, if you got fired, you don't have any right to complain about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although you probably do, because I probably pissed you off in some way. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if I've ever like truly roach mirrored someone.
I hope that is the new verb everyone uses.
Have you roach mirrored?
No.
I probably shouldn't admit. Because this is like me just saying someone has this on me. Like someone has a roach mirror picture on me.
What is it?
I went to some Italian restaurant in Brooklyn like 4 years ago. And they had these baguettes hanging on the wall. And it was right after Ariana Grande.
Did you lick it?
She just got in trouble for licking the donut. And I was like, I'm going to lick the baguette. I think it was just a display baguette.
And you were just being funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say I hated America.
And licked a baguette.
Well, now you've got ahead of the narrative.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You own it now.
I'm not going to be allowed to eat at any Italian restaurants now, which is all I have left.
Hide the hanging baguettes.
What have you done in other restaurants?
I think it's like a health hazard for you to just be hanging baguettes that you're serving to customers. So I expose something,
yes,
I think,
right.
A flaw in the system.
Right.
Yeah.
You took that A to a B.
Right.
Who do you think has like a good social media game?
Bethany has the most followers.
Yeah, right. I feel like a couple of the like Beverly Hills housewives have interacted with me on Twitter, but because I don't watch the Beverly Hills franchise, I was like, I don't really know you.
So you're like, yeah, that thing that happened.
Right. I did Brandy Glanville. Is that Glanville? That
my
sounds
favorite.
Wrong.
No, yeah,
no. 1,000% right.
I did her podcast when I was in LA. And,
how was it? Magical.
She was 30 minutes late.
Oh, I die.
She got stuck in. To be fair, I am always 30 minutes late to everything in LA, but she ran in and I was like, oh, okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I don't know if you know that she has a wine line.
Right.
Do you know what it's called?
No.
Tell me if you think this is a good name for a wine. Unfiltered. Do you want to be drinking something
that hasn't been filtered? Oh, yes. I want all of the toxins. That's my favorite part about the wine.
We talked about this a little bit already. You clearly met Brandy Glanville.
Right.
You saw Cal Radziwill's book editor.
Yes.
Who else have you seen?
My favorite. So I'm like late to that at the Housewives game. I feel like I waited until I lived in my shitty studio apartment and was like, I need to watch The Real Housewives of New York and like figure out how real New Yorkers live.
That's definitely the place to watch.
Yeah.
How
right.
real New Yorkers live.
But before then, this was maybe like 3 years ago. I was at BuzzFeed through a like Pride party for Pride Month, and Countess Luann was a featured guest, and it was before I'd started watching, and her daughter was with her, who at the time was like 15, and we were surrounded by all of these like wasted BuzzFeed employees, and it was only like months later that I was like, oh, that was Luann. Yeah, it was amazing. She was amazing. She sang.
She's gonna love hearing that.
I hope so. Yeah, she sang Money Can't Buy You Class.
Oh, she sang.
Yeah, she performed.
That's
it was
how
a performance.
She caught his eye with that husky voice across the room.
I mean, it was an incredible, like, that was the perfect Pride
right.
party guest.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hearing that she has this one-woman show, right? On Broadway or around Broadway.
As featured in New York Times today.
I just read that, yeah. And that she's supposed to be doing a Money Can't Buy You Class style song, but in the style of Hamilton, featuring Sonia.
I don't even have words, and I want to pay all the money to see that.
I know, but it's sold out, right?
We're going to get it.
You got the in.
Yeah. We'll bring you along.
Let me know.
Yeah. I mean, that just sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So do we think they're both rapping or just Sonia? It sounds like.
You know, I feel like Sonia's the obvious rapper
right,
of the
right,
two.
Right, obviously.
So, you know, I would guess her, but we'll see. That's what keeps it exciting.
Right.
Well, what are your thoughts on Bethany?
I like her. I mean, I feel like, you know, I respect her hustle.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, she knows what she's doing. She's got it down.
Absolutely.
She's a businesswoman.
Did you ever work for her?
Sure.
Okay.
I feel like I would last like a day.
Yeah.
But what a day.
Like, you have to get here before 11. I
right.
don't understand.
Yeah. I'll be the one with the like shaky hand. It's like, ugh. Yeah, but you know, I'll do it.
Would you intern for Sonia?
Yes. Yeah.
That's probably more your speed,
to be honest.
Right. Only until I get a free toaster oven, and then I'm out.
Right. I think you're going to be waiting a while.
It still hasn't happened, right?
No. She had that whole photo shoot.
I'm ready for it.
Me too.
That's going to be the only thing in my apartment.
Just tonight I'll be preparing an 8-course meal using just a toaster oven.
The other housewife that I saw in the wild recently is Heather from New York.
Yes.
And yeah, we were, it was like a restaurant and I was like, oh my God, she's like, she just looked so like not, it was just like a regular person. And I was like, you're right here. And then I thought about talking to her about like Spanx, but
Yeah, did her tummy look yummy?
Yeah.
I'm a proud wearer of shapewear in my personal life, so she is inspiring to me for that
everyday
reason.
Occasions or just like special dress for just 50 Shades of Grey premieres?
Yes, yeah. Actually, it was that. Jenna Maroney.
Actually, camera.
It was I. A couple of events that I went to in LA that I worked with a stylist with, and it was the second event that I worked at her with the same stylist, and she was like, "We're cool now, right?" And I was like, "Sure." And she was like, "Okay, so don't get mad, but I brought you Spanx." And I was like, "I'm not mad at all." Then I had to buy them. It wasn't a gift. She was like, "I bought you these to purchase from me, and they're $80. And I was like, "Great." But now I have to buy, like, yeah, for special events. Okay. And when I perform on stage, I wear Spanx. And okay. I joke about them.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, it smooths you out, but also adds about 20 degrees. And so I'm already a very sweaty person. And, yeah, I just am melting. But luckily, I look great.
Yeah, as you are melting.
Right.
Speaking of stand-up, who do you think is the funniest housewife?
Who? I mean, Nene is, she's a jokester. She's the one who most consistently makes me laugh. Yeah. So I think that's, you know. That's where my answer goes.
Okay. Well, we know a lot of things annoy you.
Yes.
Who is one celebrity that you just irrationally hate? Oh.
That's a good question that I don't have an immediate answer for.
Oh, that surprises me.
I know.
There just must be so many.
I'm trying to think of the last person I've, like, yelled at on Twitter. I don't know.
I'll tell you mine.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner.
Like, you are not the first person I've heard that from recently.
It's just, God, slap on a little foundation or something. Come on, Jennifer. We know you're a mom. But, like...
My mom called me one day and was talking about this commercial where Jennifer Garner's in a library. I don't know what it's for.
Is it for Chase?
Probably. But she's... My mom was like, she's wearing so much makeup and that's so unlike her. And I was, and I had no idea what she was talking about because I don't pay attention to Jennifer Garner at all. And I was like, I feel the need to defend her. And I was like, even when you think she's not, I bet she's wearing like 10 layers of foundation. Mm. And my mom was like, no. Not Jennifer.
No.
But apparently that's...
Every photo of her is at the farmer's market where she's inexplicably...
Let Jennifer live her life.
Wearing some sad sack outfit and no makeup.
This goes deeper for her, though, because she's obsessed with Ben Affleck, which
isn't as politically
correct to say anymore, but it's true.
I know. I saw the side dick in Gone Girl. Okay, I agree. I think one person I'm irrationally angry at is Chris Pratt now, it pains me to say this, because I used to be a Chris Pratt stan when he got hot. And before. I liked him when he was Andy. But then he broke up with Anna Faris.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I'm also one of those people who's like, I read one sentence that's like, he was maybe a dick to her. And I was like that's it. Canceled. Yeah. I think there's a section in my book in the acknowledgments where I thank all of the hot guys that I stalk on the internet. And I think I say every person. I think I call out Chris Pratt specifically as not. Thank you not to Chris Pratt. He knows
good.
What he did.
Good for you.
And the third Jonas brother, whose name I won't even dignify by naming him. You can take your curly head.
Yeah.
Get it out of my feed. Not that I was following him in the first place.
He was on an episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
That's right.
He's just like a contractor now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wait, are you on Raya?
No, that's the, like, famous person dating thing. Mm-hmm. No. I don't feel like I'm at a point where I would enter that community.
The Vanderpump Rules cast is on that community. I think you can
Are you comparing me to Vanderpump Rules?
adults now.
I did inexplicably end up at Sir and Lisa's restaurant. She was not there.
Sir, you say?
And it was. I felt like I was walking into another world. I feel like there was so much happening. Someone was like selling rugs in the corner. I felt like I was walking into like a marketplace. There was smoke and yeah, there was a lot happening.
Have you been on Watch What Happens Live yet?
No, I haven't.
You should have your people get on it.
I know.
But if he hasn't asked you, we want to ask you because Andy always asks people.
Yeah.
But what would your Real Housewives tagline be?
Ooh, I feel like I haven't perfected it, but it would be something like, if I can't eat it, drink it, or f*** it, I don't want it.
Yeah, that's great. That was
really I don't know if good. I could say f*** in my tagline, but you'll bleep it.
No, we'll make it happen.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Suck it, probably.
Right.
I could say on air.
Honestly, we can leave out the f*** it. It's the eating and drinking is the more important of the two.
We do this thing called Sophie Stanbury's Choice.
Yeah.
But it's basically like Sophie's Choice, but Sophie Stanbury is one of our ladies of London.
Right, right.
If you could only watch New York or Atlanta, what would you choose and why?
Ooh, I am binging Atlanta right now, so I feel closest to them. But I think if I had to choose, the New York ladies are like my. I feel the most kinship with them as a New Yorker.
Yeah,
living their lifestyle.
What trip of theirs would you go on?
I do kind of love that the Atlanta season, that they go to San Francisco and act like
it's like Spain.
Tropical, yeah. And when Portia says she got off the trolley in Chinatown and it felt like she was in Tokyo.
Okay, sweetie.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Where were they when Kelly Ben Simone like flipped?
Scary Island.
Scary Island is where I would go. Right. How can I forget Scary Island?
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't?
Right.
I think that's where I'd be okay. I just want to be a fly on a wall, though.
My only fear
is
that she would be there.
Oh, no, I want to go with them. I want to see it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Al Sharpton, you know.
Yeah, right. Al Sharpton, yeah. Vampire.
I think that episode is the angriest I've ever been while watching The Real Housewives.
Just because you're like...
I felt like a visceral anger at Kelly Benson.
Right.
Because I was like, you're not real. You're not a real person.
Oh,
I'm sure
God.
She's a great person, but in that moment, I was like, I hate you so much. It's making me like physically angry.
Go to sleep!
Yeah, go to sleep!
This has been amazing.
Yes,
please
thank
tell
you.
Everyone where they can find you. I mean, you have enough fans, but we'll help you.
Yeah, I'm on all the things at Matt Bellassai. Bellass AI is how you spell my name. And yeah, you can buy my book, I guess.
Yes.
Unhappy Hour. Unhappy Hour is my podcast.
Thank you so
thank you
much.
So much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Again.
I'm a lush. Thank you again, Matt, for coming on. You were so much fun.
Yeah, and if you guys want to see the interview in action, we're going to have videos of the interview going up on BravoTV.com, and Grace will add links in the description when they're up.
Mm-hmm. Like that moment when our wall attacked him.
Yes. But make sure you're subscribed so you get Thursday's episode where we talk to Camille Grammer and Tom and Katie Maloney Schwartz. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, follow us on social. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
I'm on Twitter at Rachie Robb and on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
And #BravoDailyDish. Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the
boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.
And Gross Raisin.
Thank you. And I'm everywhere at Gross Raisin. _gross_raisin. I looked for just at Grace on Instagram, and it's not that it's taken, it's that Instagram is like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Like, there's no such handle. So I have a lot of conspiracy theories about that.
They have to do with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I think that that's either A, what Khloe Kardashian's going to name her baby and they've already reserved it, or the Catholic Church has bought it and is reserving it for something.
I hope it's Catholic. I want Chloe to come up with something a little more creative.
She hates your name. Cool.